For those of you that missed the last show because of a dental appointment, something like that, this is what happened on the last episode.
Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, I really...
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good. Don't answer. I can't hear you. Technology has not come that far where we're able to hear what's going on in your home, except for Google. They can do that. And the Amazon Alexa... she's basically taking a bath with you. Okay. Well, how are you today? You feeling all right? Let's go immediately to the White House because I'm pissed. How did this happen? How did we get an unsophisticated, literal idiot in the White House? How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. He sold you snake oil, just like a carnival barker outside of a circus. He sold you bad food, and you gave him money for it.
Wow.
Lesson learned. Oh, well. Here's a couple of things that the Constitution of the United States missed. Before a person can become president, they should go through a job interview. I've talked about this last week on a previous episode. But it goes further than that. Before you can become president, you must prove that you were born in this country. He was in Queens. You have to have a urine test. Hell, I got to get a urine test like once a year from my doctor. I guess Trump does too. But you really need to look inside that urine. You're going to find all kinds of crap in there. I don't think they did a urine test before he took office. Did they check his psychological profile? Did they do a Rorschach test? Holding up a ink blot pattern in front of his face? Wouldn't he always answer, "That's Rosie O'Donnell's butt"? I think he would. They didn't do a Rorschach test on him. Did they go over anger issues that he may have? Like, does he talk in an angry, shouting, demeaning tone? Maybe you should figure that out first before it becomes president. Did this man have any bankruptcies in his past, since he's going to be running the country? He's had quite a few. Didn't check it, forgot to check that. What about his financial history? Did you look at his taxes? No? No one can look at his taxes? He's the president. Don't you have to check that out first? Did anybody look at his investments as to where he's invested and what kind of money he's made from any of these foreign countries that we consider to be questionable? Anybody ever look at that? Did anybody check it out to see if when he became president he would hire all the members of his family to run the country like some type of a kingdom? Anybody check that out? Anybody give him a simple grammar test to see if he could put a sentence together? Proper use of certain grammatic words in our language that we teach our children? Anybody check that out first? We missed a lot of things here. And now we're paying the price. Now, I'm not talking about Trump's policies or political views, whichever they may be. Have you noticed all of Trump's political opinions have to do with him being king? That all the Democratic-type countries, the European nations, England, Germany, France, Italy, Canada, even Mexico, that they're all against him now. They're taking advantage of the United States, you see. So we have to be careful about them. We can't trust our friends anymore. Guess what, Don? Our friends can't trust you anymore either. So who do you trust, Don? Well, I trust Vladimir Putin, who's a dictator in Russia, who invaded the Ukraine. We might even recognize Ukraine as part of Russia now. Oh, I see. So we're validating an invasion. Yeah, Vladimir Putin, Don says, is a very strong, impressive leader. That's because he's a freaking dictator, man. He kills people. I also like the China guy, even though I'm going to start a trade war with him to make sure that everything that we buy is going to be a higher price. What are you doing? Yeah, and the president of China can be president the rest of his life, because that's the way that goes. I would love that, Don said, quote unquote. He thinks that Kim Jong-un is a wonderful man, very impressive, very together, a great leader for his age. It's amazing. He's a great leader because he's a dictator, and he kills people, his own people. Don finds those people, those dictators, those rulers, to be very impressive, strong leaders. What are you, an idiot? I'm fed up with Don. I'm fed up with him. I'm fed up with him. I think as a person, he's despicable. I think as a politician, he's deceitful and manipulative. He calls his own people, journalists, enemies of the people. Every Mexican is a rapist and a murderer. I mean, he said this out of his freaking mouth. Now, I'm not going to spend the whole show on Trump again. It's just that he pisses me off so much. And every day that goes by, he makes our country more unsafe by cutting us off from the reality that we live with since the 40s of security by forming a band with your neighbors, forming an alliance. He's out to destroy that. He's out to destroy the planet, etc. He's out to destroy everything. The man is a negative man. He yells and shouts, promotes violence, is a horrible role model for your children. And yet, somehow, he thrives. Somehow, he thrives. His bullying works not only overseas, but with his own people. He bullies his own people, and it seems to work for him. Is there an end of the line for this destructive, horrible train? Sure. But by the time it reaches the end of the line, a lot of stuff could have happened that causes those tracks to throw off that train. Now I'm talking analogies and it doesn't make any sense. Well, there you go. Whenever things are getting low and I'm feeling helpless, I always turn to my good friend Alexa and I ask her, what's your favorite radio program?
The Ron Van Dam Show, of course.
What a wonderful, wonderful woman.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
I'm amazed by GPS. There's some lady that talks to me when I'm driving my car when I conjure her up, and she tells me where to go. Now, ladies have been telling me where to go all of my life in a very negative fashion. It's like all roads lead to hell for me when a lady tells me something. Ron, you can go to hell. Well, thanks for the GPS navigation. But the lady in my car, who lives inside the dashboard somehow, I don't know how she breathes in there, but apparently she survives, especially in the hot weather. I don't know how she does it. She tells me how to go places. Do you realize that the navigation lady in your car is about the only woman that a man will ever listen to for directions? It's right? It's a revelation. Men have never listened to women when it comes to directions to get somewhere. But this GPS lady, she gets away with it. Do men have GPS ladies and women in cars have GPS men talking to them? I don't know. I don't know that part of it. I have a GPS lady. She's very nice. I've never asked her out on a date because I wouldn't know how to get there without her. And she's also like a robotic voice. Yesterday, she did me wrong. I was driving to an area that I had never been to before, and I punched the address on my dashboard on my GPS. And it came up, and she said, obey all instructions, brother, then fasten your seatbelt, here we go. Here we go, you mindless little shit. And I followed her directions. She took me to the wrong place. She took me on a circuitous route that took me twice as long as I would have taken otherwise. She fooled me. She screwed me up. I don't know what to do now. Do I drive to my local dealership and say, I bought this car a few years ago. There's something wrong with the lady inside the dashboard. She's telling me all strange ways to go to places.
Well, Ron, I mean, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. What's wrong with her? I can't do anything. I can't talk to her. She just talks to me. What's going on? Is she all right? I'm concerned for her welfare. I know she hasn't eaten in a long time because I've never fed her. What's wrong with her? Now I can't trust her. What a terrible feeling. What a horrible, deep-seated, awful feeling it is when you can't trust your GPS lady. Where do we go wrong? For years, you were telling me where to go accurately. And then one day, you turned on me. You set me on a wild goose chase that was both lengthy and unnecessary. Why did you do that to me? You're a robot. You know better. I'm afraid I can't trust you anymore. Now when I enter an address, I don't know if you're going to do me right or do me wrong. Will she get me there on time? Will she get me there at all? What happened to us? Are you doing this out of spite? Am I too low on oil? Why is my car doing this? I depend on you. You're my GPS. Without you, I'm nowhere. I can't get maps anymore. I can't look at a map while I'm driving. I can't even text or put on my lipstick. So I turn to you for trust and understanding. Tell me where to go. Tell me how to get there. Tell me how long it will take. Now, there's something wrong with you. Is it GPS Alzheimer's? What is it? Where do I take you? How do I get you the help that you need? Do I visit you on Wednesdays between 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. visiting hours? Do I shove some kind of medicine into the dashboard of my car? How can we resolve this? You're my GPS system, and I love you. Well, maybe you're just not working anymore. You know, GPS, when your trust is broken, there's no turning back. It's like you've cheated on me with another driver. I can't believe anything you say to me anymore. When you tell me to buckle up and take the first left, I don't know if you're kidding me or if you're serious. I can't read it in your voice. Your voice is so monotone, so matter of fact, that I can't tell if you're kidding or not. There's no sarcasm anymore. I mean, you're great at playing poker. You got that poker voice. But I'm afraid that our relationship of trust is over. So next time I ask for directions and you respond, I'm going to question that, double check that, because we no longer can trust each other. It's sad, but true. Today is a day of mourning for me and my GPS lady. We've lost what we had, and we'll never get it back. I don't know if I'm crying or if my allergies are kicking up. I think it's the allergies. We'll return with our guest right after these commercial words.
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
Calamari. You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fried diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me. Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
Darielle Mack joins us now. She's an author, and as we were talking before the interview, she's just been all over the world and has one of those minds that picks up everything from all different cultures and all different parts of the globe. So she's written a book called Scooter Girl. And Scooter Girl is, I understand, a new type of superhero.
That's correct. It's a female superhero. It's about time we had one.
Yes.
And us women and girls need to play a role and help healing the world, and that's what this this journey story is about.
Yes, it's about the empowerment of women, obviously, but it's also about saving the planet. Was your concern about the environment and the planet itself, was that due to all the traveling that you had done throughout the world?
In part, I think that one of the things that being gifted, that I grew up all over the world, is that there are wonderful people everywhere on this planet, and we all share the Earth in common. And that's a thing we need to treasure. And this story is giving that over. Yeah. as something that we all need to, you know, to hold up and take care of with all the problems on the earth. That's still something we all, you know, we all share in common and care about, I believe.
Yeah. You know,
and that's in the work that I do, in all of the work that I do.
Mostly when we read about the stories and the movies about superheroes, whether they be male or female, it always involves fighting and knocking people into walls and explosions and all that. But your superhero character does things other ways.
Yeah, this is very much the antithesis of that. This is very much not about blowing things up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much about using actually music, and so it's about music as a healing power, as well as that the Earth. The story itself is based on folkloric Gaelic and also Scandinavian. It's an infusion of things, sort of from mystic worlds, brought together to bring a story to which were things that were ancient in ancient worlds. These things of caring for the earth were very much the power, you know, that's what the Gaia, but all of this stuff, but it's done in a much more fun, it's done for a 16-year-old character who's coming of age and off to explore the earth, off to take her first journey.
You know, that's, I do a lot of interviews, and what is most impactful are the books and the conversations that directly relate to young children and teens, because those years when you're taking in information as a teen, that stays with you the rest of your life. It never seems to go away, whether you're bullied or how you're brought up. That follows you in your personality all the way through. So this is such a perfect time of life for this age group to take in the morals and the important things of life.
Yeah, and I think very much so, and I agree with you, and it's an exciting, you know, we're getting great reviews, but it's an exciting story because, you know, as a girl, we aren't gifted enough of strong characters who empower us to take our own way.
Right.
You know, Hollywood has a lot given us the girl or the girlfriend who's always, you know, next to the guy, and I have to say, I was a tomboy. I mean, I'm, you know, and we were front and center. You know, women can be front and center, but we don't have to pick up a gun to do things. We can do it with humor. We can do it with wit. We can do it with love. It doesn't have to be with a gun the way that Hollywood pushes the heroes out there in the world, where it's always about violence.
Yes, absolutely. Scooter Girl's magic power is an electric scooter, I guess she rides.
Well, it's a gift. That's an electric scooter that's invented by an uncle of hers, a crazy uncle, you know. And that's one of the gifts. That's also Glow, who is the scooter, becomes one of her sidekicks on the journey. She also has a robot sidekick named Pete, mm-hmm. who's also invented by her crazy uncle that she meets on her journey.
Yeah.
But her powers are different. I mean, those are rather the sidekicks who, when you have superheroes, a lot of times they get the sidekicks who help them along the way, or these are the, you know, their mm-hmm. their journey friends,
yep.
and those are two of them who then become part of her assistants mm-hmm. on her adventures.
Yeah, it's you know, we lack superheroes in our real world, unfortunately, especially politically right now. So you need to build up characters, and which builds up real character in a person. You need these role models to give you some guidance, and it's nice that you're creating something that is of a role model type.
Yeah, and I think that that's true, and I think that we need to do a little bit of taking down, mm-hmm. because it seems to be, again, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to the issue, that it isn't the violence, it isn't about the destruction, it's right. about the rebuilding, it's about finding a way, laughter, healing, love. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds a bit, you know, it sounds a bit la-la, but it's not really in this world today with so much violence mm-hmm. and so much mm-hmm. destruction going on and so much hate.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that there are other things, you know, and that there are other ways to handle situations, and that it isn't always, you know, taking up the power or the need to conquer.
Yep. Yeah,
that's
that. Fine.
That's my sidekick. There.
I can tell. That's your superhero sidekick.
That's my sidekick. She also so. So I think that those issues, the issues for people to remember, especially because of video games, and video games,
yeah,
tend to also
they're violent. They're violent. Yes,
to be violent, and I think that's one of the things that just needs to be rebuilt and restructured, is that's not the way it needs to be done.
Yeah.
And hopefully just stories that help offer other ways to view the world and other ways to solve problem. And it's fun. I mean, this, yeah. you know, it's a fun journey.
Yeah.
It's got mystical characters. It's got, you know, it's got a beautiful world. It's got lots of action and lots of fantasy, you know, that's going on. And it's also the startup, you know, I'm a writer that mm. works. That it's also a film that we're creating.
Cool.
So it's also a journey to be,
yeah.
to be seen in different episodes. And this is the first or the origin story, as you say, in the graphic
yeah.
novel world. It's, you know, it's the coming of age, it's the telling her story, it's
yeah.
giving the audience who she is, as you said, who her sidekicks are, what her powers are,
yeah.
so she can continue around the earth and do some good. And
yeah, you know, the nice quote that I have here in front of me is that Amber, the character, says, "I'm just a girl." And when we say just a girl, it doesn't mean that's you're just one, but you're just a girl doing amazing things. But amazing things can be done by people that are just people, and that's a nice message too.
I think that that's what's important, is that it's every one of us. And I think there's things like that going on around the world right
mm-hmm,
now.
Sure.
But that it is every one of us carrying out, just on a day-to-day basis,
yeah.
a small gesture, you know, and then it's paid forward.
Yeah.
You know, it transforms people.
Everybody can be a superhero. You don't need the magic skateboard or anything like that necessarily. The book is available everywhere now?
The book is available. The book is available. I think it's Barnes and Noble carries it. Amazon carries
good.
It. It's out. It's out at outlets.
Well, that's everywhere. That's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and it's doing really well. I'm very excited. We, you know, we're getting great reviews. And I think it's also a tricky era. It's hard to get a lot of you know, when I was growing up, a lot of the graphic novels were for my brother and his buddies. You know, this is one for us.
Good.
And I took time in creating this character that the character is drawn by a woman. It's a woman artist who drew the girl and the character so that she looked like us rather than men's perspective of us, which is also what's portrayed in media most of the time, is somebody else's view of us women, of us girls. And, you know, so it's been thoughtful in the way it's been rendered. The artist Del Barris, who's the artist who drew the book, is a is an artist who's worked for Marvel and DC and Disney. You know, he's a wonderful. So he's the designer of the book imagery itself, which is based upon, of course, the fiction and the story. But his execution of it is he's had much experience, and he's an incredibly gifted artist. So the book has a lot of layers, from being well drawn in terms of that skill from that world, but also, as I said, it draws on the lore and fantastical world of ancient world, merging with the modern world.
There you go. Well, Dario Mack, pleasure speaking to you personally. Pick up the book.
Thank you, Ron.
It's Scooter
Girl. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thanks very much for taking the time to listen and help us talk about this story.
Is there a website that people can visit?
Yeah, scootergirlbooks.com.
Perfect. Great. Great success to you. We look forward to the next one, and let's talk soon.
Okay, sounds great, Ron. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dario. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, there you have that one, huh? Well, we're out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. That'll be exciting, Ron. I know. You don't have to tell me. Maybe I have anger issues, too. Maybe I could be president. I wish you peace. We're going to need it.